Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
And this is Overtime.
Let's do it.
It is 8:33, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Overtime for Tuesday, September 29th. It's debate day. Hello, Charlie Brennan.
Hey, Deb.
Hello, Amy Markscores.
Hello, Debbie. Is it weird that I'm kind of looking forward to tonight's debate?
I know. Well, that's what I'm going to ask you both about, because I'm kind of torn. Like, you want to watch just for the spectacle of it, and yet it's not like we're going to cover any new ground or learn anything new here.
Right.
So it is definitely, we'll have to see. Chris Wallace, of course, is the moderator. And it'll be not really a live audience, just a few people there, no handshakes, no opening statements. Chris Wallace has already pre-selected the topics, which the candidates knew a week prior. This is most likely, I'm just going to say, much more important for Joe Biden than it is for Donald Trump, because we know what Trump is going to say and most likely how he'll behave. What exactly are you expecting tonight, Charlie, if anything?
I think it could be the most interesting presidential debate that we've seen, certainly for the entertainment factor, because both of the candidates are known for, well, not really relying on talking points. You know, they sometimes go off script, so you never know exactly what one is going to say. That's true with both Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Biden has been through this before, and I have contended that he whipped Paul Ryan in that vice presidential debate when the two squared off, even though people at the time, you may not remember this, they had dismissed Biden as kind of being a mental lightweight. Donald Trump is Donald Trump. You never know what's going to happen. So you put these two together. I don't think we have ever seen a presidential debate, this is my prediction, like the one we're going to see tonight.
Yes, and I think it's interesting because Joe Biden has done a really good job so far, not really talking about or answering questions about what he would do were he president. He is pretty good at deflecting, and I think it's a very transparent strategy, and that's fine because you have to have a political strategy, and that is if he's asked a specific question about what his administration would do, he said, well, I'm not going to answer that because I'm going to focus on Trump, because that's what Trump would want me to do, is take the focus off of what he's done. 200,000 Americans are dead, and so forth and so forth. So it will be interesting to see in a debate, he will have to answer these questions. You know, when Trump talks, it's the best Biden campaign. And sometimes, more often than not, when Biden talks, it's a great Trump campaign. So what will happen in a debate when you can't or you shouldn't be able to just deflect? I have a little bit of a feeling that Chris Wallace he could have an opportunity to be a teacher where, you know, like a teacher's like, kids, I gave you these topics a week ago. How are you not prepared to answer these questions? I feel like Chris Wallace will have that opportunity. Whether or not he takes it, he probably won't. And I'm a big fan of Chris Wallace, but he could.
Yeah, Chris Wallace, Charlie, has bumped up against the president quite a few times. He has interviewed Trump on Fox News Sunday. In other venues, and he has been tough on the president. I'm not sure if Joe Biden has had the Chris Wallace treatment of late.
No, Chris Wallace has been on his program saying that he's invited Biden, and Biden has declined. And so we'll see what happens. I think Chris Wallace is the best in the business. The president has really unfairly and kind of, oh, he just hasn't been very gentlemanlike when he has described Wallace as being someone who can never live up to his father's standard and all that. And that really bothers me when the president has that kind of ad hominem attack against somebody, but especially Chris Wallace, who I think has, when you look at Chris Wallace now, you don't think, oh, the son of Mike Wallace. You think of the top interviewer out there today.
Yeah, and I think the most important question, though, going into this evening is, has everybody established the rules of the drinking game that they're playing when they watch the debate? Have you, Debbie, or Charlie, or is that just me?
Well, I'm usually watching on my iPad in bed because I need to be sleeping.
So you can have a glass of wine.
I got whiskey on the bedstand, you know, ready to go.
That's right. You and Jack Daniels watching the debate.
Well, if you were doing a debate drinking game, Amy, what would be the cues to drink?
I know, and that's what I was thinking of. I did have with Joe Biden like a deflection where he has to just, his answer is saying something that Trump did. With Trump, it would be repeated adjectives and adverbs, you know, like many, many, or the greatest.
Great, yeah,
like
great.
Anytime, it's great. Yeah, it's really great. Anytime you say two consecutive adverbs or adjectives. I might have alcohol poisoning by the end of the night.
Well, keep us posted. If you're not here tomorrow, okay, We'll know what happened.
You'll know what happened. It was those adverbs. I knew.
Oh, well, we have to take a break here. But when we come back for round two of overtime, we're going to pay a little tribute to a local boy who has done yet another great thing. So stick around for that. It's 8:38.
There's a swing and a long one.
The journey to the World Series begins for the Cardinals tomorrow.
That's a donner for Vander.
It's postseason playoff action as the Cards take on the Padres. Pregame at 3:12. First pitch 4:07. And you can hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
It's 8:43, and I forgot that hockey existed because once the Blues are done, it's like I just don't pay attention anymore. I came into the newsroom this morning, Charlie Brennan and Amy Markscores, and the Toms, Tom Franklin and Tom Ackerman, were talking about Pat Maroon, and oh my gosh, what a great day. And I was like, what happened? They said, oh, we have a new Stanley Cup champion. Yeah. Oh, got it. Yeah, I stopped paying attention. But yes, Pat Maroon, I will cheer for him. Our Oakville native wins his second Stanley Cup last night after the Tampa Bay Lightning blanked the Dallas Stars 2-0. So Amy, our resident hockey expert, I saw him skating around, you know, hoisting the Stanley Cup. He seemed perfectly happy with it. But is this, does this mean the same because it was such a weird season?
Right. Well, first, I just have to say that Pat Maroon is to 2020 what cockroaches are to the nuclear apocalypse. Like, somehow we are all losing our minds. We're just trying to keep it together. And here's Pat Maroon just doing his thing, winning back-to-back Stanley Cup championships. If you had that, if you're a betting man, my hat's off to you, because my goodness, you know, the Oakville native who grew up playing roller hockey, who would have thought? So it's interesting because I heard earlier this morning on Total Information AM, the NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman, saying that this was perhaps the hardest fought for Stanley Cup in the history of the league. And I guess in some ways it was very, very difficult because they heard the bubble was extremely tough, emotionally, mentally exhausting. Of course, what makes the Stanley Cup so special? It's, well, we all know what it takes to win it, an 82-game season followed by 2.5 months of playoffs. So this was a bit of a different season. I will say this quickly before Charlie opines, and that is the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup last year because they were built as a team of attrition. They would wear you down, and they would wear you down just before themselves, they themselves would break. I've often said if they played the Boston Bruins, Twins in round two, I don't think they come out victors in that series. They were built for the long haul. What's interesting is the Tampa Bay Lightning last year were the number one team, historically good in the regular season, and they get knocked out in the first round. The Tampa Bay Lightning are one of the smallest teams in the league. The Blues are one of the biggest. They're a quick strike team, a fast team, and they won in this sprint of a postseason. So kind of interesting how it worked out, but good for Pat Maroon.
Yeah, I mean, only three players in NHL history have done what Pat Maroon did, at least, I guess, in the expansion era. But explain to me once again, because I never really understood this, why we let him go and why he went to Tampa Bay for about half the salary. Wasn't he making $1.7 million here and he went to Tampa Bay for $900,000? And he, here was the, you know, a great hero in the Stanley Cup, of course, with that overtime goal against Dallas in over in round two in the seventh game there. Remind me once again why Pat Maroon is not wearing the blue note.
Well, a couple of reasons, but not insignificantly. Pat Maroon actually had a bad regular season. It was really bad in the regular season, and he came to life in the playoffs and ended up being what we needed. He was that hometown hero. I think there was a little bit of a understanding that nothing he could do in the next season would be able to compare to that. So there is something to be said for leaving. I'm not sure exactly where the Blues wanted to throw their money, but they didn't prioritize Pat Maroon. Again, partly because his season was so rough. The Tampa Bay Lightning needed weight. They needed a big body to throw in front of their net because they were the smallest team in the NHL. And Pat Maroon does what he does best, which is he stands in front of the goaltender. He blocks the goalie. He opens up scoring opportunities. So the Tampa Bay Lightning needed somebody like him. The Blues decided that they didn't.
All right. Well, if he would like a socially distanced parade, we can still throw that for him if he wants to come back to town. It'll be a little different than the last one when he
was here.
Just a little different. All right. We'll be back with round three of OT. Stay with us here on The Voice of St. Louis. Charlie, Amy, Debbie, it's 8:47.
In case you'd like to hear more.
There's more.
This is Overtime on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
It's 8:52. Charlie Brennan, Amy Marks Kors. I'm Debbie Monterey. This was news that excited quite a few people that I know. So I'm going to pose this to the two of you and see what you think, because we are in an age when I think a lot of kids don't even know what a newspaper is. What is this thing that keeps showing up on our porch? Why do
littering.
We have this? What is it?
Somebody's littering.
Somebody just threw something, Mom, on our porch. A group of employees has purchased the Webster Kirkwood Times in order to bring it back. It went out of print in March due to the pandemic, but it has it was started in 1978, has a circulation of just under 39,000 households, and now it is back in paper form, showing up on people's doorsteps. If you're in the area, the circulation area of the Webster Kirkwood Times. Charlie, would you like to see more community papers, or do you think this is just an anomaly?
Well, there are community papers and there are community papers, but the Kirkwood paper is the best I've ever seen anywhere. At least in recent years, last couple of decades, it's got not only a lot of good stories. Little fun note, our friend of show, Greg Warren's mom, used to be a columnist for it, but they do have some other great columnists like Mary Buffy. And they also, I will say, their advertisements kind of tell you what's going on in the area. You get some great specials and deals, and I just think the world of it, and I like it in the print form. Now, there are some free newspapers that are really not worth it, even though they are free. But that newspaper, I am glad it was salvaged, and I wish it many years of great readership.
Yes, hooray for the Webster Kirkwood Times. And I do like print newspapers. I get the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal delivered every day, print newspaper. The West News Magazine, which is out in West County, like Wildwood, Baldwin, Ellisville, I think that's a quality community paper. I really like the West News Magazine. They'll tackle, they'll cover local sports and farmers markets and local issues, but also have a feature piece on the airport or on law enforcement. So I think West News Magazine is an excellent community newspaper.
Well, good to hear. So good yes. shout out. I don't remember what it was that would show up on my porch. It was some shopper, the South City shopper or something. And it was just litter because no one ever picked it up. And it was just, you know, constant litter on just on the sidewalk. Just to, anyway, it looked like there was a storm. I'm like, can everybody just pick up their stupid shopper, please, and just throw it in the garbage?
Well, believe it or not, that was a big issue in our neighborhood with the cousin of the Kirkwood paper. It was called the Central West End Word. And some neighbors were upset at others because they never picked it up. And I really don't understand why neighbors just don't pick up their newspaper and throw it away.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I would fling it onto somebody's porch, just like, here you go. Yeah,
overhand right. it, their window. You know, you brought up Greg Warren, the Kirkwood native comedian. He, on his crossword podcast, brought up another.
What?
I know he has a comedy crossword podcast called One Down. Pretty funny. They break down the New York Times podcast. Very niche. He brought up another publication we all miss, Sky Mall. Don't you miss Sky Mall?
I loved Sky Mall. Okay, do you want to know how dated this reference is? I bought a giant CD cabinet from Sky Mall. It is now in our basement full of CDs that no one ever plays. And we're like, what the hell do we do with the CDs and this giant CD cabinet that I bought from Sky Mall?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that was a short-lived purchase.
It was so cool at the time, though. I'm like, finally, I have a cabinet for my CDs. And now I haven't listened to a CD in years. And honestly, the only CD player I have is in my car.
Great question, though. What do you do with them?
I don't know. I guess take them to Record Exchange and hope they buy them from you. But no, then they give you credit. We'll buy all these and then you get $200 in credit on other CDs. Okay, no thanks.
Yeah, no way.
Amy and Charlie up after the news here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.